Federal Chief Technology Officer Megan Smith describes the type of people needed to populate the new digital services offices across government in a simple way. TQ. So what kind of person is that, and what's that mean? Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller is here to explain Megan Smith's formula. She's a Silicon Valley native, well, not native, but she comes to Washington from Silicon Valley. Explain what this term is, because it must be a term from out there. I don't know of it being used here, Jason. What's TQ mean?
Well, you've heard of IQ, obviously,
yes.
Right? You've heard of emotional quotient, maybe, EQ. Well, TQ is someone who has technical quotient, right? So a TQ is people who have specific set of skills needed to meet the demands and expectations of citizens and businesses when it comes to digital services. Smith says, you know, during times of war, the U.S. is very good about getting those TQ people to the table. But in peacetime, agencies tend to get away from it.
What we really need to do is have technical people at the table. So United States Digital Service, the 18F team, the Presidential Innovation Fellows, which are like White House fellows who are technical, who do design thinking and front end and back end, embedding them in government. That's not to say that government should build everything. That would be not good. We should have our amazing off-the-shelf products from tech, hosted products. We should have things that we contract for, custom. But there needs to be a person in the room who speaks that language. You don't want to go to a meeting in a foreign language and rely on the other side's interpreter. You just don't really, you won't be confident in what you know, and bad things can happen. And in this case, we want to have a TQ people, technical people, in the conversation on our side when we're doing contracting and work, or someone helping architect solutions who's thinking about customer service.
Now, Smith spoke yesterday at the State of the Net conference sponsored by the Internet Education Foundation, a nonprofit here in Washington. Smith says the people with high TQ are important because government and industry alike are what she calls in the early stages of digital services. She says in many ways it feels like the late 1990s when the internet was first taking off. You remember, Francis, everyone wanted to be on the web and you wanted to have websites.
Yes.
And the websites are so ugly. I think there's a site out there that you can go back in time and see how bad the websites looked back
yes.
then. She says that's where we kind of are with digital services. But at the same time, federal websites and mobile services need to be just as good as those offered by Amazon, by Twitter, any of the other technology leaders across the country. And she says there's no reason why we can't if we bring in the right people. Now, this is part of the reason why the Office of Management and Budget is calling for every agency to set up their own digital services team. If you remember, this was part of the IT passback language that we reported on about a week ago, where OMB gave agencies until October 1st to set a set up these new organizations and spend a percentage of their IT budget on their staff or people with TQ.
How does she see this as being able to help her attract the right people? I mean, there's a limited number of these folks, I guess with high TQs, we'll call it, that are available. How does she want to be able to go out and get them and get them into these jobs?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, because that's a major concern that I've heard from federal CIOs about this new OMB initiative. You know, I'll call it a digital services in every pod or chicken in every pot, you know, whatever Herbert Hoover used to say. I asked Smith about that issue because there's also a concern. Not only are they bringing people in from the outside, but what about all those great federal employees that are in agencies that seem to feel like they're overlooked by this administration when it comes to having the right skills to meet their IT challenges?
The people in government can train for those jobs. There's these fabulous code boot camps and other things that exist that allow people. You know, I think when the VA Digital Service was looking at their internal team, I think they had some number, maybe 13,000-14,000 developers and only 3 new JavaScript. I mean, how unfair is that for that team to not be trained at those elite things? So leveraging these code boot camps and stuff so that the talent inside a government can be at the same talent level as colleagues in the commercial markets and actually flow between. Like, some people will work for government for their whole life, but most people are going to go work in the private sector and then come to government and then maybe do some nonprofit things. That's a great America that moves around.
Now, she says that the U.S. Digital Services Group out in OMB right now is utilizing a very similar approach that in some ways looks like the Army Reserves. The USDS brings in people from the private sector for a few months, maybe on a sabbatical from their current job. Then after they go back to their old job, maybe they call them up for advice or help every now and then when, you know, it's appropriate, when it's needed. And this idea, so maybe you don't need to hire 10 people, but maybe you only hire 5, but have 5 more who are kind of in the reserves, quote unquote. Now, Smith says these experts really do need to help government create these web services that can be done more quickly and less expensively than ever before. And in some cases, this is already happening. Francis, you know, we've talked a lot about the digital services. We've talked a lot about GSA's 18F, HHS's Idea Lab. And Smith says these types of organizations really are the model for the government of the future.
There are extraordinary people in government and outside of government who have innovative ideas. And so there hasn't always been a place. And one of the things that's certainly something that the tech industries have done forever, that's where the word skunkworks, you know, comes from, with the early digital equipment team and others, having a lab or a place where you can play and creating a review system that works within the agency. One of the tricks of making something like that is to make it big enough that it exists. So you have some budget and some people, and you get almost like entrepreneurs in residence who are coming from within or without and putting skills together and working on pilots and prototypes and doing things, you know, in Silicon Valley we call it minimum viable product. Make something that people can get a feel for what you're talking about. But you also don't want to over-resource it. If you keep it at the right resource size, then you can kind of IPO it through the team.
Smith say IPO, initial public offering. She's not talking about putting it out there on the stock market and get people to buy it, you know, to spend money. More like the idea of almost using that noun as a verb to say, hey, we buy into it. We like the technology. We accept it. So I think that's a key point there. And in some ways, this is happening even more broadly. The U.S. Agency for International Development actually took their innovation lab and took it to the next level by saying, we're going to bring in some outside experts from academia, universities, to help with development, engineering, mobile apps to deliver better services, and all the like. Now, this idea of digital services, Francis, is just one of several priorities that Megan Smith has been talking about. Along with that, we're also talking about open government. We're talking about policy to help push forward innovation. And then, of course, STEM education, not just in the government, but, of course, around the country.
You have more on that at federalnewsradio.com. And another breaking story this afternoon that you're writing about and reporting on for federalnewsradio.com. Some bad news coming this afternoon for FedBid, Jason.
Correct. Now, the Air Force has suspended FedBid from all procurement activity as of January 26, and they are proposing this the reverse auction company for debarment. Now, this is a huge issue because it's been, you know, this is directly connected to the Veterans Affairs IG report that found this, you know, I'll call it a tawdry tale of alleged procurement fraud, lies to investigators, retaliation against whistleblowers, misuse of agency resources, and FedBid executives were right in the middle of that awful, what the IG called just an awful affair. Now, will this mean they'll be debarred? No, definitely not. There's usually negotiation, but the fact that they're being suspended, that's a huge deal, and it's something that I think is going to be very surprising to people who follow this, the acquisition community.